Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast 21 on I Heard a Fly Buzz When I Died by Emily Dickinson. The first heading is Subject Matter. The second poem by Emily Dickinson on your course is I Heard a Fly Buzz When I Died. The opening line of the poem is quite dramatic. I heard a fly buzz when I died. The speaker describes the moment of her death and reviews the scene, describing the stillness of the mourners who had previously been weeping at her bedside. The speaker recalls that she had earlier made her will, and then just before the moment of death, she heard the stumbling buzz of a fly. At this moment, the speaker loses all consciousness as her senses shut down and fail. The next heading is theme. Dickinson explores the theme of death in this poem. Unlike her poem, I Felt a Funeral in My Brain, in this poem, Dickinson adds more insight into the mourner's experience as they sit by the speaker's bedside awaiting her imminent death. The poem reminds us of the grief that family and friends suffer upon the passing of a loved one. The poem, through the image of the fly, may also suggest that sometimes trivial things in life occupy us when our thoughts should be otherwise focused on more important things, while the mourners, the dying speaker, and possibly ourselves as readers, may be expected to sense some presence of God or the king in the poem. Instead, we get the presence of a fly, which denies the speaker a dignified and solemn passing. In quote 3, you'll find that in the poem there are several interesting descriptions in this poem. Think about any three lines or phrases in the poem that you found memorable or creative or even confusing. You may find the image of the mourners to be quite vivid and true to life. Or perhaps the adjective stumbling used to describe the fly is interesting to you. What do you think? The fourth heading on your worksheet is imagery. The image that stands out for most readers is that of the fly. You can interpret this image in a variety of ways. For some, the fly represents decay and death. It appears to be struggling or stumbling. It appears to be drawn towards the light, eager to re-enter the world of light. But it is trapped behind a window pane. Could this image function as a symbol in the poem, representing perhaps the dying person's entrapment by death? Another image in the poem is that of the king. The mourners expect that, at the moment of death, the deceased will be visited by Christ the King, who will pass judgment on her soul. Dickinson also uses a simile to describe the stillness in the room. Can you remember what she compared this stillness to in the poem? Other images that you may have found interesting include the image of the distraught mourners, or the image of the light, which fails at the moment of death. Some readers think of the failing windows in line 15 as a metaphor for the speaker's eyes, which close for the final time, so she can no longer see to see. Write a brief comment on imagery into your worksheet. We move on now to language. The language in this poem is more accessible for most students compared with the language in Dickinson's I Felt a Funeral in My Brain. The poem includes several examples of concise, descriptive phrases which create vivid pictures in our minds of the mourners. For example, the eyes around had wrung them dry. The poem's setting, for example, the stillness in the room. And of the preparations before death, for example, I willed my keepsakes. The language has a homely feel to it. The word room is repeated in the poem, and the image of the watchful mourners gathered around the bedside creates a consoling and comforting atmosphere. This sense of calm and serenity is interrupted, however, by striking visual and aural language. The fly's vivid blue colour and irritating buzzing sound, which distract the dying person at their moment of death. We move on now to form. The poem is written in the form of a hymn. The poem is composed of four-line stanzas. The meter or rhythm in each stanza shows 8 syllables in lines 1 and 3 and 6 syllables in lines 2 and 4. This is a similar pattern to that found in Dickinson's other poem in your course, I Felt a Funeral in My Brain. This gives the appearance of a poem that is quite tightly constructed. The poet works within the patterns of the hymn format, which echoes the feeling of confinement that we imagine of the deathbed scene. Note also the use of repetition, in particular the phrase "and then." This phrase is used 3 times in the space of 4 lines, from lines 11 to 14. You may recall that Dickinson also used and repeated this same phrase in her poem, I Felt a Funeral in My Brain. The effect here is to suggest how powerless the speaker is, that shortly after making her will, she gradually loses all control over her life, as it ebbs slowly towards its inexorable death. You can read more about the poem's form in the Zoom In quick reference card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. In terms of sound then, you probably have noticed that Dickinson uses a regular rhyme scheme in the poem, in which lines 2 and 4 of each stanza rhyme. Most of these rhymes, however, are half rhymes, also known as slant rhymes. For example, room and storm. This technique usually creates an uneasy feeling or tension, which seems appropriate in this poem, where the mourners are anxiously awaiting the loved one's final breaths before death. You can also hear onomatopoeia in the phrase "uncertain stumbling buzz," which disrupts the stillness in the room. The next heading is tone and mood. Although the speaker in this poem is at the point of death, there is no sense that she is frightened of her death. Her emotions are not really explored at all in the poem. This is very different to Dickinson's other poem on the subject of death, I Felt a Funeral in My Brain, in which the speaker underwent severe mental anguish on imagining her own funeral. In this poem, the speaker notes the comforting presence of the mourners. She also seems quite satisfied to have previously made her will in preparation for her death. The tone doesn't have that same nightmarish quality that you may have experienced in the previous poem. There is a tone of dignified composure here. The sense of strain, despair and terror that was apparent in the speaker of Dickinson's previous poem is noticeably absent. Before the entrance of the fly, there is a dignified stillness in the air, again contrasting sharply with the soundscape that we heard in I Felt a Funeral in My Brain. When you read and thought about this poem, what kind of feelings did it make you experience? This is the poem's mood, and most of us feel somewhat sad or somber after studying this poem. One impact on the mood and how we feel about a poem is, of course, the imagery contained within the poem. And one image that many of us can probably relate to is that of the mourners spending their last moments with their loved one in a dignified stillness after perhaps days of anguish and weeping and grief. The final heading on your worksheet then is personal response. So, overall, did this poem prompt you to think more about death or about life? Did you find it to be an interesting or upsetting poem? Some students like the sense of dignity within the poem. Others feel some comfort from the fact that the deceased person is surrounded by loved ones. Is it a frightening poem in any way? Or do you get some sense of hope or consolation from the poem? Why do you think the poet introduced the fly into the poem? Does this change your appreciation of the poem in any way? These are just some ideas and questions you may think about or refer to in preparing to write your own personal response to Dickinson's poem.